Amen. Amen. Hey, it's so good to be with you guys today. Believe it or not, I've got to preach at this church several times. A few times, and just done a lot of trainings here. I love being in Enid. And so my name is Brian Baldwin, and excited to be with you guys today. Most importantly, I'm married to my wife, Candace. We have four kids, and love just getting to be in our churches around our state. I've got to work for the Baptist Convention of Oklahoma for the last 9 years, and before that, 9 years as a youth pastor at South Tulsa Baptist Church, and then a season in Idabel, Oklahoma. I don't know if you know where that's at. It's, you know, southeast Oklahoma. It's God's country, because only God knows where it's at, you know? Then just really in youth ministry. I really never left the youth group. I kind of just stayed in, and so I've been friends with Weston, and excited that, man, you guys have him, and so excited that Pastor Jonathan is here, and I just think about, you know, the direction that God has taken your church, and I'm really excited about that. And so, I've been kind of, in the last 9 summers, been at Falls Creek. Anybody been to Falls Creek Youth Camp before? Okay, awesome. I was just joking around with some of the guys earlier. I only went one time as a student, and I got sent home, right? And so I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. That does happen to people. But now I made up for lost time because I've spent the last 9 summers, 10 weeks of summer. So that's about 90 weeks of camp. So it's a lot of camp. And so I'm kind of doing a new thing now, a ministry called Good News Journey. God's always put, for the last 15, 20 years of my life, a really deep passion for evangelism and missions. And so trying to follow the Lord's leading in a new ministry called Good News Journey. It's just a ministry that focuses on missions and evangelism. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today, actually. And so if you turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, you guys have been doing this series about abide, right? And so obviously John 15 is the verse on that. And I want us to focus on when Jesus talked about bearing fruit. I actually just got back from California yesterday, right? I was doing a training in Los Angeles and did a couple trainings there. And I actually stayed at a host home, literally surrounded by an orange grove, right? These oranges are everywhere. And they asked, do you want an orange? I'm like, I don't even like oranges. I'm like, but I just wanted to be, you know, polite. I'm like, sure, I'll take an orange. But it was like, it rivaled Hawaiian pineapple, these oranges, man. Amazing. And I was just thinking about bearing fruit, and they said it takes about 9 months to create this orange right here, and the work that goes into it. And I think about in our life, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, of God just doing a work in us, and us growing and sanctification, all these things. The goal is to bear fruit, right? Is to bear fruit, not just some fruit, but bear much fruit, you know? So let's look at God's word again in John chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1. This might be a little review from what's been happening in the last few weeks, but I want us to start off with this verse in John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. He says, you are already clean because of the word of the gospel, right? I have spoken to you. Remain in me. That means abide, right? Remain in me, and I will remain in you. I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so I want us to think about, you know, being a part of the vine. We have to be attached to the vine. To bear fruit, you have to be attached to the vine. And, I wasn't, I wasn't raised in church. I always just kind of thought, you know, there's a God, and if I'm good enough, then, you know, we'll be fine if we meet someday. But I did finally realize when I was a teenager that God's standard of goodness was a lot higher than mine. Start looking at those commandments, you learn pretty quickly that we're all pretty much lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterous, murderers at heart. And there's five more commandments staring at us, right? And realize there's a problem. And I was invited to a play, like a drama, by a family friend. And man, it was that night, it felt like about 1,000 pounds were on my chest. Man, and it was basically a play of people just living life. And they had a chance to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and those who trusted in Christ. You know, some of them did that, and some of them didn't. And basically, it was just stories of people, and then they died, whether it was a natural cause or some tragic accident or something. And people that put their faith in Jesus were welcomed into heaven because Jesus paid their fine, right? Even though we broke God's law, Jesus paid our fine on the cross, and so those people were welcomed into heaven. Man, but those that didn't, man, they had to pay for their own sins, right? And they had to go into God's prison. They're literally thrown into hell, and it was a little terrifying. It felt so heavy, like I mentioned, it felt like about 1,000 pounds were on my chest. And the end of the play, there was an invitation given to trust in Christ, and I went forward to call on Jesus, and man, that 1,000 pounds. Turned into a river of peace, like immediately. And I didn't know everything about God then. You know, I don't understand how electricity works, but I still flip the light switch on. And I didn't know everything about God then, but I knew there was a God, that I sinned against him, that Jesus paid for my sins, and that I need to trust in him, to rely on him, to depend on him for what he's done for me. And I was born again, and I was then attached to the vine. And so before we pray and just get in the rest of this this sermon, if we'd all bow our heads and close our eyes, and before we pray, I just want to ask a question to you. Has anything like that ever happened to you? I mean, I just shared my story of putting my trust in Jesus. Has anything like that ever happened to you? Do you have a story like that? So I'd love to, you know, I don't know everybody in the room, and so I'm just curious. If you do have a story of putting your trust in Jesus, you know, it may not have been in a play, but maybe it was at church, or maybe it was at camp, or maybe it was at home. But if you have a time where you've been born again, you've put your trust in Jesus, you've called on the name of the Lord to save you, would you raise your hand all the way up in the air just so I kind of see? I'd love to see kind of who I'm talking to here this morning. Man, that's so good. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for First Baptist Enid and just seeing so many that are attached to the vine, Lord, and that have a story just like I do, the same Holy Spirit that convicted me and showed me my need of forgiveness, and it saved me. The same gospel that was proclaimed to me was proclaimed to so many that it was just raised their hand just then. And those that said yes to you to put their faith and trust in Jesus, Lord, thank you for that. That binds us together here today. But Lord, I also want to pray for those that maybe didn't have their hand up just then. This they would think about. They would kind of examine themselves and wonder what that means if they don't have a story of putting their trust in Jesus, if they don't have a time where they've called on the name of the Lord to be saved. And Lord, they would just be awakened, that they'd be compelled, Lord, to do that today. Lord, that they would know at the end of this service there's going to come a time where, just like I was given the opportunity to call on Jesus, they're going to have that opportunity as well. So I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would work and you would move in our lives today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, the word I want us to kind of focus on this morning is the word compelled, right? When you think of the word compelled, like, what do you think of? Whether you're compelled, maybe you feel driven to do something, or you feel kind of like, man, I have to do something, I'm compelled to do it. I want us to kind of really laser in on that today. When I think about, you know, Jesus says to remain in him and you'll bear much fruit. You know, a lot of what he's talking about there is the fruit of really multiplying yourself. Really, the reason why after God saves us, he didn't just take us to heaven is that he has a job for us to do in this world, right? And that's to show and share the gospel of Jesus. And so this morning, I'm gonna try to do a hard thing. I'm going to try to compel you. One, you guys that had your hand up a minute ago, I want to try to compel you to share the gospel with other people, right? And that's a big part of what Jesus meant by bearing fruit. of leading others to faith in Christ. You know, and then also I want to compel you, maybe that you didn't have your hand up just a second ago, I want to compel you to receive the gospel, right? To receive that so you could be attached to the vine, Jesus, so that you can have your sins forgiven, so that you can have a home in heaven. But the word compel, you know, we're compelled, everyone's compelled by something. And the world would want, you know, would say it compels us to think certain things matter most. And I think last week, Pastor Jonathan talked about how the world compels us with stuff, right? To just have a bunch of stuff. You guys remember that from last week? Whether that's possessions, I think about the world compels us with money. I mean, literally moves us to action, takes us in a direction because money compels us to do certain things. You know, I think about whether that's expensive clothes or it's, you know, a certain type of car or jewelry or the best this or that. You know, just like Jonathan mentioned last week, man, possessions, it compels us to do certain things. It compels the world to do that. And I think about not only just possessions, but power too, right? Compels you to do something. I think about, I mean, people spending all this money on education because they want a certain education and, you know, want to get certain grades and you know, having that because they want a position someday, a power, maybe status, to have a certain career, to have, you know, this kind of this power compels a lot of people. Or I think about privilege does too. You know, just being able to, I don't know, maybe they want to travel all the time or they want to have certain experiences or they just want comfort or maybe security. And when it comes to privilege is something that compels a lot of people to take action. You know, and then I think lastly, a lot of this is really important too, of people. People compel you to take action sometimes too, whether that's acceptance. You know, I've been working with students for like forever, and I would say the greatest idol of a teenager is probably their social status. And most adults are just, you know, teenagers on the inside still, and we're compelled by acceptance too, or a certain person, or love, or beauty, or fame, or respect of others. But people a lot of times compel us to do certain things. And I like to think about, I mean, if all the, you may know this, if you were to get all those things, you would know that they wouldn't satisfy you, right? We know from Solomon, I think Pastor Jonathan maybe mentioned this last week, you know, King Solomon had all those things. You know, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, what he say? He said, I've tested all this stuff out. I've tried to do all the things that the world says will satisfy you and bring you joy and happiness and all that. And he said it's meaningless, like chasing after the winds, right? And so, man, if you were to get all those things like Solomon did, they wouldn't satisfy you. And obviously, if you don't get them, those things will never forgive you. Those make you think you're not worth it. And I think about, you know, just what people are chasing after in life. And I'm reminded that, you know, what's going to matter 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now or 1,000,000 years from now? It won't be how much money you made, your possessions. It won't be the power that you have or the privilege that you have or even the people that are, you know, all the people that know you or popularity or fame. You know, I'm kind of like over the last 9 years being at Falls Creek, it's funny, the first summer somebody asked me to sign something. Like, can we sign this? I'm like, what'd you say? You know? So there's a little bit of like Falls Creek fame when you're there on that stage in front of those thousands of students or whatever. And my youth pastor always tried to keep me humble and say, hey, Brian, just so you know, just don't forget, you're going to be completely forgotten off the face of the earth in 3 generations from now, just like everybody else, right? If you think about it, what do you really know about your great-grandpa? Most people just know that he or she was really old, right? Great-great-grandma, grandpa, I mean, they were old. I don't even, you know anything about my great-great-grandpa. And I'm just reminded that that's going to be me someday, right? That's going to be you. And so if you think about what are you compelled to invest your life in, you know what? Jesus says to invest in the kingdom of God, right? He tried to compel us to know God, make him known. And so I want to do the same today. And the Apostle Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, he says, basically, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. I've been really studying the book of Acts again, and I mean, just his life that he lived and his radical transformation. Like, how did that happen? You know, like he was kind of like the Christian terrorist in a sense of he was terrorizing Christians, and then he became one, and then he's doing these missionary journeys where his life is on the line all the time, and he sacrificed so much and gave his life even. And like, Paul, why did you do that? You know, for the love of Christ compels us, is what was the fuel for the Apostle Paul. And so I want us to think about, you know, what are you compelled by? And so if you're taking notes, the first point I have today is, you know, are you compelled from above, right? Are you compelled from above? In Matthew, we know in the Great Commission, very familiar verse, Jesus gave us a command. By the way, this is not the only place where the Great Commission is given, but we know this verse where Jesus gave us the command to go and make disciples of all nations, right? It was a command to be given. Jesus gave us, you know, the Great Commission. It's not a good suggestion, you know, it's a command to be obeyed, and he is sending us to basically do what he did. You know, he says in Luke verse 19, verse 10, Jesus says, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Like, that's why Jesus, that's what he was compelled to do in his life. You know, that's what his mission was. And then Jesus says, you know, just as a father has sent me into the world, I am sending you, right? I am sending you. And we know the verse too, man, one of my favorite verses of Acts 1:8, where Jesus says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, basically here, near, and far. Like, Jesus is giving us a command to be obeyed. And so I think about this being compelled from above, meaning, like Jesus told us to do it. And it's kind of weird to, like, you know, not, is to say no to that. I mean, if he's your Lord, it's like, no, Lord, no, King. That just doesn't really work, right? And so, I mean, I think about it. We were filming one of our evangelism training videos in Mustang at a fire station, and we're talking about gospel urgency, and say, hey, can you just, like, you know, the firefighters do what they do when they get a call, right? And so, you know, the alarm goes off, and, man, they're just rushing out, and they're playing ping pong or whatever, and then they drop all that. Man, they put on their gear, like, quickly put on their gear. Man, they're getting in the trucks, man, and they're out the door, like. And I think about, like, imagine, you know, over the intercom when a real call comes in and the fire chief says, get in the truck, guys. Put on your gear. Like, there's a family that's in a burning house down the road, and we have to get there or they're going to perish. You know, and I think about being in California and all those fires and all that stuff they had there and stuff. And imagine the firefighters in the firehouse, instead of doing what their fire chief tells them to do, they say, wow, did you hear the chief's voice? You know, like glory to the chief. You know, now we should have a study about how the chief spoke to us. You know, maybe we can form a committee even and talk about having a conference about how the chief speaks to us or whatever. And I just think, man, if you said that you love your fire chief, you know, you should do what he says, right? You should do what he says. And what does Jesus, our King, like our Lord, tell us to do? He says, you will be my witnesses. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, as the Father has sent me to seek and save the lost, I am sending you. And so I think about what is some fuel today to compel you? Like, how are you going to be compelled to bear fruit, right? To share the gospel, show and share the gospel and bear fruit with your life. And do something that will matter 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now or 1,000,000 years from now to send a ripple into eternity. How can you be compelled to do that? I would just think about being compelled from above, right? Our King Jesus told you to do it, right? And if you love him, you want to do what he says. So we're going to be compelled from above. Here's the next point. I encourage you, if you're taking notes, I'm asking you the question of, are you compelled from within, right? Are you compelled from within? And, you know, I think about that. You know, our world today is pretty broken. I mean, it doesn't take long when you turn on the news to see the brokenness. I mean, if you go right now to your news feed, it is full of brokenness and tragedy. And not just, you know, natural tragedy, but man-made tragedy too, whether that's, you know, broken families, whether that's depression, or abuse, or dysfunction, poverty, when it comes to, man, just the turmoil in our world, that's anxiety, depression, self-harm. Suicide is actually at the highest rate it's ever been in our nation's history, despite all the medicines and all the programs. You know, it's higher than it's ever been. And you look at our world, and you should have compassion, right? And you think about, like, the brokenness in our world, and a lot of people just think if we just, you know, have the right president or have the right laws, then all those problems will go away. That's actually not the answer. What really is the answer is a person, what they think about God, right? If you think about it, what somebody believes about God determines their worldview, okay? How they view the world. And their worldview determines how they think. And how they think determines their actions. And the actions of people determine a whole society. And so if you think about the brokenness in our world and you have compassion, you should want to share the gospel with people. Because how they view God determines how they steer their whole lives. And so I think about the hopelessness of our world and how we should be compelled from within to have compassion. And Jesus did this in Matthew 9:36. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I think about when he saw, sometimes we just read over words. This is not just like, oh, Jesus saw human beings out there, you know. He saw, like, with compassion. I remember I got to go like a vision prep trip to London, England. I got to take my wife with me, and we were going to meet at a certain, like, subway station. They call it the Underground in London, if you've ever been there. And it was about 5 o'clock time where everybody was getting off work. And I knew I was going to meet her at a certain subway station. And being in the subway, you know, your phones don't work. And so I knew, you know, I couldn't actually talk to her and that she'd be coming down this escalator into this certain spot. And there's nowhere to sit or anything. And it's not like I'm going to sit there and kill time. I had about 30 minutes just to stare, you know, wait. And actually, I think it was the Lord just helping me be still for a minute and just see people. Right? You ever just watch people? Most of the time, like, we've got something on our minds or something to do at all times, right? And we don't rarely have the opportunity just to kind of watch people and look at them and just think about them, right? And, you know, what it did for me, and I mean, I'm like a missions evangelism guy, and so that's supposed to be my job, but, you know, sometimes just staying busy, this, and you're always doing stuff, you know, you don't just take a second just to be still and to see people. And as I was watching, like, the thousands of people pouring down that escalator onto those subways, and I was just thinking to myself, most of these people are lost. I bet 95% of the people that came down that escalator are lost. There's a hell they're going to, and there's a hell they're going through, right? And I kind of just, like, I had to just take a pause, and I had compassion on them. I think a little bit like Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, right? Not just for the hell they're going to, but the hell they're going through, because he says they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They're a creation without the creator, and a sheep without a shepherd is just not a good, thing for the sheep, right? And so do you see people like that? Are you compelled from within? Like, do you take time to look at people and just to see them and ask God to compel you to share the gospel with them? Because they don't just need Jesus someday after they die. Like, they need Jesus right now in this life, right? In this life. And so we should be compelled from within, right? That should be fuel for us. Here's the third one I want us to, for me, this is the biggest fuel, right, in compelling me to share the gospel with other people. And this is the biggest fuel of, like, getting out of my comfort zone and thinking about, you know, my worst case scenario is pretty small compared to their worst case scenario. And that is to be compelled from beneath, right? So we talked about being compelled from above, because we should share because Jesus told us to, commanded us to. We should be compelled from within because, man, people need Jesus in this life, right? But I think about more than anything else just being compelled from beneath and the fact that there's a real hell that people go to if they don't get their sins forgiven, right? I mean, if they don't trust in Christ. And, you know, Jesus actually talked more about hell than he did heaven. You know, and actually, I remember just talking about hell in a church one time, and somebody came and said, thank you for sharing that. We haven't really heard this in like 20 years. You know, our pastor hasn't really talked much about hell or anything. And I'm like, wow, Jesus actually talked more about hell than he did heaven. Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. And when it comes to a person that should have the authority to be able to mention that, he is the person, right? And if you were to go through scriptures, you know, man, I mean, I think about John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But it also says things like, man, whoever doesn't believe in him, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe will stand condemned, right? And I do jail ministry like twice a week through the juvenile center and the county jail as well, too. And all these guys are waiting to see the judge. And I think about, man, hearing that gavelin drop and basically they're sent off to prison. And I say, imagine before you go to prison, an innocent person comes in and goes to prison in your place, right? That's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. Jesus, even though we broke God's law, Jesus paid our fine. Jesus was condemned for us. And actually says in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, but those that are not in Christ Jesus, there's condemnation, right? Because they don't believe, they don't trust in Christ, so they stand condemned. That's talking about hell there. You're thinking about Daniel, about the multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will wake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Man, I think about even what Jesus talked about it in Matthew 25, where he said to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Man, I think about in Luke 16, if you need to be compelled from beneath, you need to open your Bible to Luke chapter 16 and just let God's word speak to you, because it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. This rich man was in hell and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, they call. And I think about this is what it says in Hades, where this rich man was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. And he said, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire. And I think about, man, other verses too about in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, how hell is about punishment with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord, from his glory and his might. In Revelation 14, 10, about receiving the wine of God's fury, which is poured out in full strength in the cup of his wrath, being tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels of the Lamb. Guys, this is like in the Bible, a lot in the Bible, okay? Not just some places, a whole lot in the Bible. And a lot of people just want to just forget about that. It makes them uncomfortable. Listen, it's there to compel people to flee. You know, I actually, one of the big reasons I was saved is I really didn't want to go to hell. And I used to feel bad about that. Maybe I should have came for a purpose or something like that. But then I realized that's actually the most biblical reason to come to Christ is we need righteousness, right? We don't need happiness in this life. Like, we need righteousness. We need to be made right with a holy God. And that same reason to, man, come to Christ, being compelled from beneath, is also to be compelled from beneath is to share Christ with other people. Right? And so being like, are you compelled from beneath? Or do you just kind of acknowledge hell but really your heart is so far from actually feeling that full weight, right? And so it really led Jesus to seek and save that which is lost. It really led Jesus to take a mission trip from heaven to earth to seek and save that which is lost, which it says in Luke 19:10. Right? And he wants to. And again, he says, just as the Father has sent me into the world, I am sending you to do the same thing, right? And I think about like in verses like Jude 1:23. This is a verse that really stands out to me when I think about being compelled from beneath. You know, he says to save others by snatching them from the fire, right? By snatching them from the fire. And I think about, having kids, I remember when we watched Toy Story 3 in the theaters. Have you seen a scene before in Toy Story 3? They're at the dump, basically, and they get tossed into this, like, incinerator, right? And they're heading down into it, and there's, like, this hopeless look on their face. And right before they go into the flames, man, the claw comes in and literally snatches them from the fire, right? That is a picture of Jude 1:23, right? To snatch others from the fire and save them. And so, are you compelled from beneath? Are you compelled from within, right? Are you compelled from above? Like, I don't know what, like, really just moves you, like, moves you to action. I want to encourage you, though, to really figure out what that is and tap into that. Because I don't know what it is about our human condition or I guess our human fleshly nature that causes us just to, like, just to not be compelled, just to go on like autopilot and just kind of go with emotions. And I'm going to just be comfortable in this life and go to heaven afterwards, right? Jesus says that's not how we're supposed to live. He says we're supposed to live with urgency. That's what gospel urgency is, all right, to be compelled, to be moved. And so I want to just, even as we kind of come to the close of the service here, like, are you compelled, right? Like, did it work? Like, are you compelled? And or maybe you guys that raised your hand just a few minutes ago, I said, hey, you have a time where you put your trust in Jesus, where you've been born again, right? You know what? You used to be that a prisoner to your sin, and Jesus set us free. Not only did he unlock the prison cell, but we get to walk free from the power of sin, and we get to be, man, adopted as his sons and daughters and live right where he lives. And we've been given this, the greatest mission the world has ever seen, the greatest way to invest your life you can ever imagine. And he goes with us, man, praise God. And listen, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, man, he is giving you that task. And he's saying the reason why you need to remain in him, why you need to abide in him, is so that you'll bear fruit, right? That you'll bear fruit. And so how's it going on bearing fruit, right? Obviously the fruit of, man, knowing the Lord and growing in your faith, but listen, also the fruit of multiplying yourself. Man, there are only certain people that you can reach with the gospel. Not that your pastor, you know, it's not his job. God has put people in your life to reach them with the gospel and either to bear fruit. Man, so how's it going with that, right? And it's, listen, this is not like a beat down sermon. Listen, I have to preach this to myself, and I'm like the evangelism and missions guy, right? And I have to keep reminding myself. And I have to keep, you know, letting God's word compel me to keep my mind on what matters most, right? To please our Lord Jesus, our King that's above, and being compelled from within and being compelled from beneath. And so the question to you guys that had your hand up a minute ago that says, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus. I've been purchased by him. Man, I am a follower of him. Man, like, are you compelled to bear fruit, to reach people with the gospel? And if you're saying, you know what, man, I haven't even thought about sharing my faith like in the last 6 months or whatever, could it be that maybe just today your response to the Lord is to say, I repent of that, I am sorry, but then to say, God, help me, compel me, whoever it is, maybe it's just taking a step of talking to a lost person, right, or making that phone call or inviting somebody to church or whatever it is, man, what is it that God is leading you to respond, you guys that know the Lord Jesus? So there's going to come a time of response here, and maybe you want to come pray. Maybe you are compelled enough, man, to come forward during the invitation and make these steps an altar and just call that lost person's name out to the Lord, or just say, God, man, compel me, Lord. Help me. Motivate me. And maybe that's how you need to respond today. Or maybe you're one of those people that didn't have your hand up, you know, when I said, hey, do you have a story of putting your trust in Jesus? I want you just to be reminded, you know, John 3:3, the Bible says, no one will see the kingdom of God unless they're born again, right? I mean, I want you probably know your birthday, Does anybody know what time they're born? I didn't know what time I was born until a few years ago. I had to renew my passport, and I had to get my birth certificate out. And I was opening it up like it was the Declaration of Independence, man. It was like, don't break it. And it's getting up there in age. It's an old piece of paper. But it was really cool because it said, you know, the name of the doctor that delivered me and my parents' name and you know, how much I weighed and how long I was. But it also had the time I was born. And it was cool because it, like, showed that there was something important happened in my life. There was a time that I was born, and it was recorded, and it was just a reminder. It was like, wow, that's really, it was an event. There was an event when I was born. You know, being born again is also an event. Like, if you've been, raise your hand if you've been raised in church. Can I have been raised in church? I'm going to just see this too. Hey, you probably know this, but some people need to be reminded. Just because you are raised in church doesn't mean that you're a Christian, right? It doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. And that's great that you're here, but you have to be born again, right? That's an event. And that's when we realize there's a God, we sin against him, Jesus paid for our sins, and we need to trust in him, rely on what he's done for us. And the Bible says, man, that's what it means to believe, and that we're born again. And so if you say, you know what, I don't have a time that I've done that, why not let that time be right now? Right as we sit. And so if we would all across this room just bow your heads and close your eyes and just, we're just having a time. If you would say, you know what, I didn't have my hand up a minute ago. I'm still trying to figure this out. But I want to be born again. Like, I'm compelled. The same reason that we talked about being compelled to share the gospel, maybe you're compelled to receive the gospel right now. You're compelled because Jesus is calling to you. Being compelled from above. Maybe you're compelled from within of thinking about the brokenness in your life, and you need God right now in this life. Or maybe you feel that sense of weight like I did of just needing to be saved from the hell I was heading to. I'm being compelled from beneath. So if you feel like you need to trust in Jesus, you need to call on the Lord today in the quietness of your heart, I just want to help you with that right now. And say something like this, just you and God. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry, and I turn to you, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I trust in him alone to be forgiven and to get to heaven. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a place in heaven. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Hey, if this morning you said, yeah, I was praying just then. I mean, I was praying. I was calling on the Lord just then. Listen, the Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, right? And so praise God, man, if that's the case. But here's what we want you to do. If you were saying, you know what, just that was the first time I've ever done that, man, and I was calling on Jesus today. Just like we invited the other folks around here to come and to pray, and that they're compelled, we want to invite you to come and make that a public thing, right? So we can help you take those steps in making that public in your relationship with God. Just like I wear this wedding ring as a symbol that I'm publicly married to my wife, I would not grow in my relationship with her until I made that public. And so what a great opportunity for you just to right off the bat make that public. And Jonathan and Weston will be here at the front. And just say, hi, today I was calling on Jesus just then, and I want you to know that, and they'll help you take those steps. Or maybe, again, you just want to come and pray because you're compelled to pray for the lost. You're moved to action, and that you want to take a step forward and to pray for the lost, or you need to join this church or be baptized, or whatever steps of obedience you need to take. I just want to challenge you to respond to the Lord. So let's all stand together, and we will have this time of invitation as we respond to the Lord today.